Whoops.
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, you can still hear me loud and clear?
Now I do, yes.
Says the Gemara, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Brachas, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. So as you remember, we had a discussion between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. You'd have to excuse me. Always on the first day of Zman, I always seem to lose my voice. I have a sore throat. Baruch Hashem, our koilel in the morning is absolutely packed now.
Wow.
And the koil Torah is very loud, so you've got to you've got to use your lungs to be heard. Baruch Hashem. Al kol ponim, we had a machloikas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai was of the opinion that Kriya Shema at night actually has to be recited whilst you're lying down. Beis Hillel says that no, it doesn't. What was the machloikas? The machloikas was because Beis Shammai say that b'shoch b'cha uv'kumecha means as you lie down and as you stand up, literally. Beis Hillel says, no, it's not literal. It just means at the time that you lie down and stand up, but it can be said in any which way you like, because it says, Belech techa baderech. Belech techa baderech means even as you're walking. So the Gemara explained, what does Beis Shammai do with the posuk of Belech techa baderech? If he insists that B'shoch b'cha uv'kumecha means as you lie down, not just the time, but literally, you must in fact lie down and stand up when you recite Kriya Shema. So how does he argue against Beis Hillel with regard to the pasuk of Belech techa baderech? After all, it does say Belech techa baderech, which sounds like, even if you're walking along the path, neither standing nor lying. So the Gemara said, that's coming to tell us a completely different halacha, unrelated. And this is what we left off with yesterday. This is teaching us, number one, b'shivtecha b'veisecha, you're only mukhayev to recite Kriya Shema when you are sitting in your home, as opposed to when you are being oisik b'mitzvah. So if somebody is in the middle of being oisik b'mitzvah, he is not obligated to recite Kriya Shema. Number two, b'lechtecha b'derech. What was Balech Techa Baderech? That was coming to tell me the second halacha, which was a chosen. A chosen, even though he's not currently involved in the mitzvah, but he's preoccupied with the mitzvah he's about to be mekayim. Why is he preoccupied? So as we saw in Rashi yesterday, because he's concerned, will he find that his wife is a besula or not? Because of that tirada, not a physical preoccupation, but rather a mental preoccupation, the chiddush of the Torah is he's exempt from Kriya Shema. By the way, just in brackets, what's quite commonly done, especially in this country, I know this was done at my son's wedding a couple of weeks ago, is that they make a special minyan for Maariv, let's say in the middle of the chasna, in which the chasna can join. So safe to say that at that stage, he's not yet torud b'dvar mitzvah. Because we're still in the middle of the festivities. When the Gemara says that a chosn is preoccupied with esek besulim, then surely that means only when he goes home together with his bride. But when he's in the middle of the dancing in the chasna, so they make a minyan for Maariv, the chosn joins in and he says Kriya Shema as well. Now, it turns out that all opinions l'chayer have now been satisfied. Beis Shammai learns from b'shach b'cha uv'kumecha, you've got to either lie down or you've got to stand up when you say Kriya Shema. With regard to the word b'lech techa baderech, that's there to teach me something else completely. Therefore, he does not accept Beis Hillel's argument. Beis Hillel say the Belech Techa Baderech teaches you that Kriya Shema can even be recited as you are walking along the road, neither standing up nor laying down. Says Beis Shammai, no. That's not what Belechta Chabaderech teaches me. Belechta Chabaderech means that a chosen is exempt from Kriya Shema, as is an Oisik B'mitzvah. Now, the truth is we have unfinished business. Why? Because the Gemara now has to explain to us, it's not immediately clear where on earth do you see from the words B'shiftecha B'veisecha U'belechtecha B'aderech, where do you see from those words that it's coming to exclude either somebody who is Oisik B'mitzvah or a chosn from Kriya Shema? Where is there any reference in the Pasuk to those two scenarios? That's what the Gemara now says. So have a look at the Gemara. It's about 10 lines from the top of the Omud. The first words on the line, Mai Mashma. Mai Mashma simply means, where is the Mashmos? Where is the implication in the Pasuk? You're only mukhuyev to say Kriya Shema if you are not Oisek B'mitzvah. If, however, you are Oisek B'mitzvah, then you're not obligated to say Kriya Shema. Where is that alluded to in the Pasuk? Where is there any reference then in the Pasuk whatsoever? Omar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, I'll explain it to you. Ki derech. Just like a derech. What does that mean, just like a derech? If the Torah says to you, the Torah tells us that you're obligated to say Kriya Shema when belechtecho baderech. So the word derech now becomes our model. It's got to be comparable to derech. What is the distinct feature of derech? Says the Gemara, ma derech rishus. Just like when a person is walking along the path going for his Tuesday afternoon stroll. That is a rishus. What does that mean? It's a rishus. It's not mandatory. It's optional. Afkol rishus. So too, you've always got to be involved in something which is only voluntary, not mandatory, in order to be obligated to say Kriya Shema. If, however, you are involved in something which is mandatory, for example, you're busy shaking your lulav, then I'm afraid to say that's not comparable to derech. A derech is when you go for your afternoon exercise, that's a rishus. When you shake your lulav, that's not a rishus, that's a mitzvah. So that's where you see, says the Gemara, that the Torah is coming to exclude somebody who is an Oisek B'mitzvah. If you are involved in an activity which is comparable to Derech, then you're obligated to say Kriya Shema. If you're involved in a mitzvah, then that's not comparable to Derech. Well, if that's the case, then you don't need to say Kriya Shema. Now, what's the obvious question? The obvious question is, surely a person can find himself walking along the path, not as a rishus, but rather as a mitzvah. Who says that derech means you're going for your Tuesday afternoon stroll? Maybe it means you're going to shul, to daven. Says the Gemara, mi lo yoskinon. Are we not also dealing with deka'ozil ledvar mitzvah? How do you know that he's going to a Dvar Rishus? Maybe the Torah is talking about he's going for a mitzvah, he's going to shul, he's going to daven, he's going to learn, he's going for a mitzvah. V'afilu hochi omar achmon, and nonetheless, the Torah says, Likri, you should recite Kriya Shema, question mark. So you're right that derech becomes our model. But how do you know what type of derech is being discussed? Who told you that derech means derech of rishus? Maybe derech means derech of a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, no, it can't possibly mean that. Because im kein, because were that to be true, lichtoiv rachmona b'sheves u'beleches. It doesn't say in the Torah b'sheves, it says b'shiftecha, you're sitting. B'lechtecha means you're going. Otherwise it should have just said b'leches baderech, as one goes on the path. Why does it say b'lechtecha, as you go? Aye, what does it mean? B'shiftecha, quote, unquote. U'b'lechtecha, quote, unquote. Do you know how that translates? B'sheves didcha. It's your sitting. U'b'leches didcha. It's your going. Hu d'mechayvet. That's when you're obligated to go to say Kriya Shema. Only when you're walking, your own personal walking. What does it mean, your personal walking? Which is a rishus. You're going for your afternoon stroll. Oh, the mitzvah. But if, however, you are going, and it's not belech techo, it's not you're going, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going. Why is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going? Because I'm going to a mitzvah. Ah, well then, patira. Then you are indeed exempt from Kriya Shema. It's an unbelievable thing. We say this pasuk every single day of our lives without fail, twice a day. And we need to know that when it says b'shiftecha u'b'lechtecha, it's that special chaf at the end of the word that teaches us this world famous halacha. If it would say b'leches, it means as one goes, so any type of going. But if it says b'lechtecha, means you're going, something which you are interested in doing, that's when you're obligated to say Kriya Shema.
If you're doing a mitzvah derabanan,
very good question. Outstanding question. A gewaldige question coming in here from Mishkafayim. If you are oisek b'mitzvah derabanan, are you potter from a mitzvah deiraisa? So presumably what you mean to ask is, because on the one hand, it's not belechtecha, it's not you're going, I'm going to do a mitzvah derabanan, I'm going to shake lulav on the second day of Yom Tov, for example. On the other hand, as far as the Torah is concerned, it's not walking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell you to shake lulav on the second day, it's in your chazal. It's an excellent question.
There's a pasuk that tells us that we should obey the commands of
Hashem. So this is a very, very complicated and controversial inyan, or controversial. And that is, how does the Torah view Dinei Derabanan? Meaning, Rabbi Yosef just pointed out very correctly that you're supposed to listen to the Rabbanan, and it's a pasuk in the Chumash. By the way, Nachum, where's that pasuk in the Chumash? Even if you didn't know, you can guess. It's this week's parasha. This week's parasha says, "Koyla sheyoy rucha, whatever they teach you, yeminu smile, right or left, you've got to listen to Chazal." Now, this is an extremely complicated inyan, which I don't want to launch into now, because we're in a bit of a catch-22 situation. If you tell me that the Torah has obligated you to listen to Chazal, well, doesn't that mean by definition that every mitzvah derabanan automatically becomes a mitzvah d'oraisa? So how on earth do we have distinctions between derabanan and d'oraisa if in fact every derabanan is a d'oraisa? For example, we all know the famous principle, Sofik d'oraisa l'chumra. Sofik d'rabbanon l'kula.
How
can you say Sofik d'rabbanon l'kula? I'm not sure. Did I light my Hanukkah candles or did I not light my Hanukkah candles? What's the halacha on Rosh Hashanah? If on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you can't remember whether you heard Kiyah Shefer or not. So it's a Sofik d'oraisa. So of course you have to be machmir, you've got to hear Shefer again. And what about on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? On the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is the Rabbanon, the Shabura Paskins, if you're not sure. So you don't need to hit Kiyah Shefer because Sofik Rabbanon Lekula. If I'm not sure whether I've lit my Hanukkah candles, Sofik Rabbanon Lekula. Well, the $64 million question is, but if the Torah tells you that you're obligated to listen to Chazal, So when Chazal said, I've got to light Hanukkah candles, doesn't that automatically now adopt deraisa status? So the words Sofik derabanan lekula, lechayah doesn't make sense. It's a misnomer. It's never a Sofik derabanan. So this is a very, very famous topic. It's a very, very large topic and a very, very complicated topic, but it's not our topic today. But Lagabi your Shaila of Nachmi, it's an excellent question, a famous question. Oisik b'mitzvah derabanan, are you potter from a deraisa? Okay, back into our Gemara. So it turns out now, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, both opinions have been very well explained. And Beis Shammai still maintains that when you say Kriya Shema, you've got to say it either lying down or standing up. Whereas Belech Techob HaDerech has nothing to do with it. That's a completely different halacha. It's there to teach you only when you are Belech Techob on your personal walking, as opposed to your spiritual walking, which means you're being Oisik B'mitzvah, because then you're not obligated to say Kriya Shema. Says the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's the case, Afilu Koines Eso Almona Nami? Question mark. If somebody marries a widow, now, is that a mitzvah or is not a mitzvah? It's absolutely
sure, mitzvah. It's a mitzvah.
A mitzvah to get married. So why did you tell me that if somebody marries a basula, he's exempt from Kriya Shema, but if he's marrying an almana, he's obligated, but marrying an almana is also a mitzvah. So that's not called belech techa. It's not called b'shif techa. I'm involved in a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, no. Hi, torid. Vahai loitorid. Because even though marrying an almana may well be a mitzvah, but you're not torid. You're not preoccupied. Why are you not preoccupied? Like we said before, because you know full well from the outset that she's not a basula, so there's nothing to be concerned about. So therefore, if the exemption whilst getting married is not the performance of the mitzvah, but rather the tirda, the mental preoccupation with regard to the upcoming mitzvah, well, that doesn't apply at all to an almana. It does apply to a basula.
What if she's an almana, min ha'erusin?
Oh, good shayla. Then she'll be a basula, 100%.
Yeah.
Quite right. Good shayla. Says the Gemara, so it turns out it all depends on tirda. Are you mentally preoccupied or not? Somebody who marries an almana, as you rightly point out, an almana whose marriage was previously consecrated, so you know full well she's not a basula. So then there's no tirda. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Mishum tirda. If you're telling me that the all critical factor is the tirda, then what about afilu tovos finosoi bayam? What means if somebody boat sinks? What happens if somebody's boat sinks? Nami, question mark. Why do we say also that he should be exempt from Kriya Shema? Why? Imagine just hearing Chas v'Shalom the news that your boat has sunk. You would also be torud. You'd be extremely preoccupied. Hey, Gevald, what's going to be? I've lost all the money. How am I going to get it back? How am I going to get parnasa? What am I going to do? How am I going to put bread on the table? You'd also be torud. So if you're telling me that it's all dependent on being torud or not, then every person whose boat sinks should be torud, should be exempt from Kriya Shema. So you may well say he is. Who says he's not? Says the Gemara, v'chi teima hochanami. And if you're going to tell me that, yes, indeed, he is, in fact, exempt from Kriya Shema, well, that can't be the case. Why not? We'll prove it in a moment. But before we do, let's just have a look at one or two Rashis that we missed out. Says Rashi, ki derech, it's got to be comparable to derech, b'shivtecha u'belechtecha, hukshu l'derech. What does it mean, hukshu? From the word hekesh. It's all compared to derech. How do you know the bederech rashus lechuda ayri kra? How do you know that the Torah is only talking about walking to something which is voluntary? Hakra derech, quote unquote, stomach siv. The Torah writes stomach, which means it's anonymous. There's no detail. We don't know what type of derech is being referred to. Umameila, if that's the case, mishtamea nami mine, we can also infer from that derech mitzvah. Who told you it's only a derech of a rishus? Surely the word derech, without any detail, can also be referring to a derech of a mitzvah. Vafilu hachi yomar achmona likri. And nonetheless, the Torah says you should recite Kriya Shema. The Gemara explains, yes, because it's going to be belech decha. Yi mishum tirda de machshava potrek lei. But it's the machshava, it's not the physical act. But rather, even if it's mentally preoccupied, that exempts you, then afilu tovos spinosei nami. So even if your boat has sunk, so maybe we should say the same thing, that you are exempt from Kriya Shema. So look back in the Gemara now. Afilu tovos finosei bayam nami. If you're telling me that I don't even need to be physically preoccupied, it's enough that I'm mentally preoccupied, and nonetheless you are exempt from Kriya Shema. So why then you say the same also for somebody whose boat has sunk? If somebody's boat has sunk, so I should say that's it. He's clearly mentally preoccupied. So he should be exempt from Kriya Shema. V'chi teima hochanami. And if you're going to venture to suggest that maybe indeed he is exempt, maybe he is exempt. How can you ask a question if you don't know the facts? Maybe he is exempt. Says the Gemara, it's not true. I know he's not. How do you know he's not? Because Aloma Omar Rab Abba Bar Zavda Omar Rav. Didn't Rav say the following halacha? Ovel chayev b'chol ha-mitzvahs v'amuras b'teirah. An ovel, somebody rachmana litzlan, who is an avelus, meaning during shiva, he is obligated with all mitzvahs. Not quite all mitzvahs. Chutz min ha-tfilin. Besides a tfilin, shari nemar b'hem pe'er, shenema pe'er chavush olecho, and it's inappropriate for an ovel to be described as pe'er. But either way, an oval is chayev b'mitzvahs. There is a discussion, what about Talmud Torah? That's not our discussion for today. But an oval, we're not, by the way, talking about an oinin. Somebody who's in a state of aninus, which means prior to the burial, that's an altogether different status. We've learned those sugyas in the past. That's not our subject. We're talking about somebody who's sitting shiva, Rachmana Litzlan, so he is obligated, if he eats, he has to bench, and in the morning he has to daven, and he's got to shake lulav, and he's got to eat matzah, and he's got to do all the mitzvahs that every other member of Klal Yisrael does as well. Now, 1 second. Why? Surely the ovel is tarud. If unfortunately a close member of his family has just passed away, then surely he's tarud. He's very mentally preoccupied. How am I going to manage without this person? And I'm missing this person. He's clearly very, very taken up, consumed in his machshava. So if it nonetheless says an ovel is chai of all mitzvahs, so presumably somebody whose boat has sunk is also chai of all mitzvahs. And the big question is one word, why? Both the person whose boat has sunk and the person who's in avelus surely is mentally preoccupied. So why are they any different to a chosen? Says the Gemara, no. Hosam Torid Tirda de Mitzvah. It's not any mental preoccupation which exempts from Kriya Shema. It's only if you're preoccupied with machshavos concerning a mitzvah. When you marry a basula, that's a mitzvah. So your machshava, you're not just preoccupied wondering how your stocks and shares are doing on the market. Rather, you're wondering about the mitzvah you're about to be mekayim. That type of mental preoccupation exempts you from Kriya Shema. Whereas over here, both with regard to somebody whose boat has sunk and also somebody who, Rachmana Litzlan, is an Avelus, he's not Mukhiyev to be Torud. We understand that he's Torud. We understand that he's Torud. Fine, so he should try and work on himself and put aside his Tirudus. Look at Rashi. Aloma Omar Rabbi Amar Kloim Kmoi Loma Omar Aloma is like Loma Afal Pisha Torud Bitsaroi, even though he is clearly very preoccupied with all of his distress because he's in Avelos Rachmana Litzlan, nonetheless, Chayev Bechola Mitzvahs Chutz Minat Philip, besides for Tilim. Shenema Bohem Pe'er Li Yecheskel. Pe'er cha chavusholecho. Pe'er is an adornment. The kiven de ba'u pe'er. Va'ovel misgoylel b'tza'aroi ba'ofar. The ovel is, as it were, sitting on the ground, on the dust and the dirt. Ein ze pe'er. So it's inappropriate to wear tefillin as a pe'er, which is a whole discussion. We pask, and this only means on the first day of the Shiva. Even not whilst in Aninus, even post the Kavura. Let's say the person died 10 o'clock in the morning. The funeral was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he's no longer in Aninus, but he still does not put on tefillin because this is the first day of the Shiva. Says the Gemara, Torid Tirda the Mitzvah. The Kivan the Anan Miut Ba'alma Darshinon. Because it is a miut prat lachosim, mistayech im memayet mino tirda de mitzvah. So therefore we're going to minimize the miut, and we're going to say that the Torah was only excluding a very limited case. What's that limited case? Tirda de mitzvah. Somebody who's been kainis es habasula is preoccupied with tirda de mitzvah. That, we will say, is what the miut in the Torah is referring to. Whereas somebody whose boat has sunk, or somebody who is in Avelos, albeit he's Torah, and we understand he's Torah, however, it's not a mitzvah. That's not what the miut is referring to. Says the Gemara, one more line. Now, in our Gemara, there is a whole line, but it's supposed to be missed out. Our Gemara says, all of that line is deleted. It's a mistake. So we now go to the next line. Ubeis Hillel. According to Beis Hillel, don't forget, Beis Hillel used the word Belech Techov Aderech to teach me something else. But even whilst walking on the path, not standing or lying down, you're Chayav Tzei Kriya Shema. So how does he know this whole Chosen and Oisik B'mitzvah Halacha? Ubeis Hillel Omri Mimela Shema Mino Da'afilu B'derech Nami Kori. Beis Hillel says to Beis Shama, excuse me, I agree to you with your drasha. I agree to you that belechtecho means excluding a chosim. I nonetheless am allowed to learn a second halacha because we have a famous principle. You cannot have two drashas from the same word. So you've got to decide, either it's telling me A or B. Says Beis Hillel, my halacha is not a drasha, it's just simple translation. If it says in the Torah, Belech Techo Baderech, so Mamela, what does it say clearly in the Torah? That even as you're walking along the path, you say Kriya Shema. I can quite happily learn from Belech Techo Baderech, the drosha of Beis Shammai, and still learn the additional halacha as well. That's not an alternative drosha. That's Mamela. That's automatically the translation. says Rashi. Even though the pasuk is the midrash minei prat lachasan asa, it's coming to teach you that a chasan is exempt. But memela shma mina, but I can also just automatically learn from there that beleches didcha hu de mechayev al mebederech nami kari. So at the end of the day, it does say that whilst you're walking along the path, you are in fact saying Kriya Shema. So that's not another drosha. You can't ask me a kasha, oh, how can you learn two droshas from the same word? It's not a drosha. It's just an automatic halacha. If it's an automatic halacha, then I have no problem to learn it from this word as well. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Reb David, good to see you. And Amitz Hashem, we'll resume this time tomorrow, Wednesday morning Amitz Hashem.
Hey, Shikoach.
Shikoach. Shikoach.